Open your Bibles to Mark, Mark chapter 2. That's in the small part of your Bible. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 2. As I sought the Lord about the message for today, He reminded me that we're not done with missions yet. I believe there's still some work God wants to do in this matter of worldwide missions in our church. Brother Miller was here, preached, did a great job with the preaching. We had a lot of decisions. And I'm thankful for it, but I just think God wants to do some more. And so this morning we're thinking about, we're dealing with the idea, the fact, of people needing Jesus Christ. And I titled this, Getting People to Jesus. Getting People to Jesus. Mark chapter 2, let's read the first 12 verses. I'll read, you follow along with me, Mark chapter 2. The Bible says, And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, carried by four, that means. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that's the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? Jesus says, Is it any harder? And then he says this, But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Lord, bless once again. Father, we need you today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in this place, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit. You said in your word, without you we can do nothing. We understand that. And we call upon you. That you would do in hearts and lives here this morning what only you can do. Father, we believe there are unsaved people in our midst who need to come to Christ today. And our burden is that they would recognize that need and acknowledge that need and allow us the privilege to open the Bible and show them how you say in your word, you promise that a person can have eternal life if they'll simply put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then I believe there are believers here today who you want to speak to about giving in missions, about being soul winners, about being more diligent in their lives for you. Lord, whatever the need is in the heart of each person, I pray that you would do that work that only you can do. Use me. I just want to be a tool in your hands. I pray you'll bless this time we spend together in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking in our text at a narration of an event that took place relatively early in the 3.5 year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus had come once again to the city of Capernaum, and of course he was no stranger there. We find him many times doing things and being in the city of Capernaum. Now, as we read, we find out, as usual, when he got into the city, the news spread very quickly, and the crowd gathered to see him and to witness what he was going to do in miracles, and some of them to experience miracles. But as we read, we find something very special happened on this particular occasion while Jesus is in Capernaum. He's gone into a house, and he's busy in this house ministering to people, and a great crowd gathers around the house. And the Bible says suddenly four men appear, and they're carrying another man on a stretcher, so to speak, and they're bringing him to Jesus. They had brought a cripple. The Bible says he was sick of the palsy. He could not walk on his own. And so they were bringing their friends so that he might experience the miracle of Jesus Christ and be healed and be able to walk. Now, as they approach the house where they're bringing this man and they're wanting to get him to Jesus, they realize we got a problem. The crowd is so deep and so large that we can't get into the house. How in the world are we ever going to get our friend here to Jesus? And the Bible says they became very creative, and they climbed up on the roof, and they began tearing a hole, if you will, in the roof, and making a way so that they might lower this man down to where Jesus was. And as they do this, of course, the Bible says, Jesus heals the man, he takes up his bed, and he goes out. Now, I want you to understand something about this. This story is not a parable. This story is an actual repeating or reporting of something that happened. And this narrative was not included here just to fill space in the Bible. There's some things here God wants us to understand and to learn and to glean from this particular passage. Now, I want to major on one particular truth this morning, one emphasis that I think we see in this narrative, and I believe that's the importance of getting people to Jesus. Here was a man with a very dire need. Here was a man who also could not help himself. He could do nothing for the problem that he had. But here's a man who had four men, four friends, who had the burden for this man, who knew there was one who could help him, and who purposed in their hearts that they were going to get their friend to the one who could meet his need. I believe this morning God wants us to see, as Christians, the importance of our, likewise, getting people to Jesus. You see, we cannot do anything to meet the spiritual need of people. All we can do is work to get them to the place, to get them to Jesus, and if we can get them there, and if they'll come to Him, He will meet their need. And so I want to look for just a little while on what takes place here, and we're going to see what it took in the lives of these four men to get their friend to Jesus. And as we do, I believe we're going to see what it's going to take in our lives that we likewise might be busy getting people to Jesus. What did it take for these four men to get people to Jesus? Well, number one, it took compassion and concern. Listen, these fellows brought this man because they were concerned. They had compassion for his situation. Multitudes of others no doubt knew this man. I don't doubt for a minute that others knew about the suffering of this man. But you know, it was these four who had the burden to do something about it. These four could have reacted as other people did in their day and walked by and just said, well, that's too bad. These four could have walked, other people could have walked by and they didn't have the compassion of these four and just said, well, that's his problem. But you know, these four had a burden and they had compassion. And that brings me to this. Listen, as believers, we must have compassion on the lost people of this world. Here's what I find in the lives of many Christians. Many Christians are much like all the other people of that day, walking by this man day after day, seeing his need, but never once lifting a finger to do anything about it. Boy, it got quiet in here now. Understanding this man had a need he could not meet. This man is in a problem that only Jesus can take care of. But they had no desire to help him to get to Jesus. I often wonder how many other people knew about the man, knew about the situation, and knew Jesus was in town, and said, well, let somebody else do it. But you see, the need was for somebody to have compassion, somebody to care enough that they're going to go and they're going to minister to this man. Listen, we need to quit ignoring the lost all around us. They're there. This world is filled with lost people, and we encounter them every day. Listen, we go to the grocery store and the gal who checks us out. We go to the gas station and the guy who pumps the gas. Everywhere we go, the co-workers were around. Everywhere we're going, we are rubbing elbows with lost people. Where's our compassion? Listen, if you're saved and you're glad you're saved, hold your hand up. Where's your compassion for other people? They're going to die and go to hell. Where's our compassion to say, hey, I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to have compassion on these people and care about the fact they're going to die and go to hell. Oh, we've become so cold, so indifferent, so contented in our Christianity. Listen, we need to be reaching out. We need to reach out to people. We need to reach out to, I'm thankful for our bus ministry, and Josh drives it and Mary works on it, and they bring kids in every week. By the way, thanks for getting back here on time, Josh. Doing a great job getting those kids in here. Drives the bus every week. You know, nobody goes over and pats him on the back every week and says, thank you, Josh, for driving the bus. He's just faithful. He shows up. Why? Because he cares about people. We care about these young people that we can get them to Jesus before the devil gets them. Amen? Those who go soul winning with us, those who are faithful to hand out tracts, those who teach Sunday school classes and work in children's church classes. Why do they do all that? They have compassion. They care. Amen? Listen, we have not just the people you rub elbows with, but look around. We put the posters up. We've been talking about missions. We have a whole world full of lost people. We need to have compassion on them. I told you in the missions conference when they had that song, People Need the Lord, it just tears me up because people need the Lord. And when I see these missionaries come and they show their DVDs, you know, of different places, that one fellow showed Grenada. Wow. He showed a slide there of, it looked like cardboard shacks that people were living in. And we say, oh, that's a shame. We should help them financially. Listen, that's fine if we can do that. But more than that, we need to help them spiritually. You know, better they live their life in that cardboard shack and die knowing Jesus Christ than for us to give them a big palace and never tell them about Jesus. Listen, I said we're in missions week, and we're emphasizing missions. And right now the emphasis, and I'm not too shy to talk about it, is money. We got 37 missionaries we're supporting, and we figure it takes about $40,000 to do what we do in missions. We're at 25.5. We need more. We need more. And you know, I know a lot of you have given sacrificially, and you've committed yourself, but I feel sure there are some who haven't. Where's your compassion? Don't you care that people are dying and going to hell? You're glad you're saved, but what about other people? Aren't you glad somebody came and told you? By the way, every one of us is commanded to take the gospel to the whole world. So we need to have some compassion and concern. What else does it take to get people to Jesus? Unwavering faith. Now think about this. Here's four guys. Here's a sick man. He's their buddy. And they hear about Jesus. And so they get this stretcher, and they get some ropes. They get the stretcher, and they go over there, and they find out, we can't get into here, but we got to get him to Jesus. And so they go and they get whatever they need and they climb up on the roof and they make a hole in the roof and then they take ropes and they lower him down. What caused them to do that? Compassion and faith. Faith that if they could just get him to Jesus, he'd heal him. You know, my hat goes off to these fellas. They take this man and they lower him down. And you know, something very interesting in what it says here. Look at verse 5. When Jesus saw, what's that next word? Their faith. You know, I don't doubt that this man had faith and Jesus healed, but Jesus saw the faith of these four men that caused them to bring this guy to them. You see, it takes faith if we're going to get people to Jesus. These men didn't doubt for a minute if they could just get him there, he would be okay. And I believe if we're going to get people to Jesus, we've got to be a people of faith. You say, well, I have faith. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I understand that. But do we really believe that Jesus can and Jesus does save lost sinners? I'll put you on the spot. How many of you in here believe that Jesus can and Jesus does save lost sinners? You have faith that Jesus does that, right? Okay, you can put your hands down. We have that faith. And we believe that Jesus alone can save lost sinners. You say, well, I believe Jesus saves people. Yes. We also believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Veronique and Tanya are here and Joyce. I preached a funeral for their family the other day. And I shared that same thing. There is only one way to heaven. Hey, Brother Miller mentioned this, and I've faced this. People say, well, you know, God is up here on top of the mountain, and we're all coming up to God from different directions and different ways, but we all are coming. No, friend, that's not the way it works. There are not many roads to God. There's one way. And we believe that. See, listen, I'm not slamming anybody. But as we go about our lives, we run into Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Lutherans and all kinds of religious people. And listen, they're not going to heaven unless they've trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Their religion will not get them there. You say, well, they're good people, you know. Yeah, I'm glad they're good people, but that won't get you into heaven. Well, you know, they've been confirmed, they've been baptized, they've taken the sacraments, they take the Eucharist. What? Hey, it doesn't matter what they do. Salvation is by grace through faith. God said that. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to get to heaven and say, I'm here because of what I did. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God, not of works. It's a gift. Listen, we know that. We have faith in that. And we need to take that message to people and help them to understand that they need Jesus. Hello? Do you have faith that Jesus saves people? Well, yeah, I do. Well, you need to share that. And you need to work diligently to get people to Him so that He can save them. We also believe that Jesus saves any and all who will come to Him. Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Germany, Australia, Bolivia, Canada, Brazil, Chile, Costa Rica, Japan, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Italy, on and on we could go about countries around this world. People in jungle tribes, people in big cities, people all over the world. And God loves every one of them enough that if they will come to Him, if they will come to Jesus Christ, He will save them. Which brings us to our next point. It takes compassion. It takes caring for lost people. It takes unwavering faith that, yes, if I can just get people to Jesus, He will save them. And then it takes willing workers. Here's where we really fall down. Willing workers. It says in verses 3 and 4, and they come down to Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy was. What a testimony for these men. You see, what do you mean? Think about this. Think about the effort they put forth to get this guy to Jesus. Think about the fact they were willing to carry him. They put him on a stretcher and carried him to where Jesus was. You ever carried somebody on a stretcher? That's not an easy thing. But they were willing to put forth that effort and carry him. Then when they get there, they can't get to Jesus, so they go up on the roof and they go through all the labor to open up a hole in this roof, not for themselves. It wasn't going to do anything for them or profit them. It was for Him. Get this. They're putting forth all this labor for somebody else, and they're not going to get anything for it. You know, so often when we want somebody to do something for the Lord, it's kind of the idea, well, what's in it for me? I'm glad these fellows wasn't looking for anything for them. And they tear this roof apart, and then they take the ropes and they lower this guy down. And I wrote myself a little note here. Here's what I wrote. These boys broke a sweat. They did some W-O-R-K to get this man to Jesus. And they did it willingly. We don't read about the preacher standing up and saying, look, we have a need. We have somebody who needs to get to Jesus. And we really need four men who will help us. Aren't there four men? Please, men, we need four men. Aren't there four of you? Nobody had to do that. They had compassion. They had faith. And they were willing to do the job. Nobody said, I'll give you $100. Nobody said, I'll pat you on the back. They just said, this man has a need and I can meet his need. I can help him. I'm going to do it. You know, that's what we need in our churches. Willing workers. People willing to put forth the effort to get people to Christ. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, why, no wise cast out. But for folks to come to Jesus, somebody has to give them the gospel. Remember, Brother Miller rehearsed this, Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know that verse very well. But the next verse says this, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Later in verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Listen, if you're saved here today, you got saved because you heard the Word of God. There's not a person in this room that's saved that was saved when somebody brought the Reader's Digest and showed them what it said. No. Nobody brought you the Eastern Express and said, look what the newspaper says. Huh? Nobody brought you a Betty Crocker cookbook and said, look what Betty Crocker said. You got saved because somebody brought the Bible or a Bible tract and showed you what God said. And here's what God said. He said, you're a sinner. I don't like that. I didn't say it. God did. By the way, you're in good company because we're all sinners. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That's what God said. So we understand we're a bunch of dirty, filthy, rotten sinners. That's what we are. But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And you know what that means is because we're sinners, we deserve to be punished. The wages of sin talks about there's a punishment. You know, it's kind of like, If you go out here on Route 22 and you decide you want to do 75, you'll probably get away with it. Amen? It says 55, but if you do 75, you'll probably get away with it. But if you do 80, you'll probably get pulled over. And if you get pulled over, that fellow with that Smokey the Bear hat, how many of you have ever met them? They have no sense of humor. They are all business. And he'll walk up to your window and greet you. And he'll say, "Can I see your driver's license and registration, please?" And you'll give that to him and he'll say, "I'll be back." And he'll go back there and you wonder, what in the world is he doing? He's checking you. And he's writing your ticket. And pretty soon he'll come and give you that greeting. That little piece of paper that says, "I clocked you at 80 in a 55 zone, and blah, 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 and your fine is $250. Have a nice day." Yeah, I'm going to have a nice day. $250. But see, you're guilty. So you owe the results of your guilt. Now, most of you would drive away and say, "Oh, that policeman, he was unfair to me, blah, 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 blah." But you know in your heart, you were doing 80, it was 55. You deserve everything you got. Well, see, we're sinners now against God, and because we're sinners, we owe the penalty. We deserve everything that God would penalize us with, and the penalty is hell. That's what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. But wait a minute, the verse goes on. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God has offered us a gift. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that verse goes on. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, God loves you. God don't want one person who's ever born to die and go to hell. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And God made a way for salvation. There was no way, but God sent His only begotten Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus went to that cross, and He died there, and He shed His blood. So we could have salvation. He made a way, but He is the way. The gift of God. I shared at that funeral the other day about we're at Christmas time. And I said, everybody's thinking about gifts at Christmas. Now, would you go out and buy a gift for somebody for Christmas and come Christmas morning, you take that gift and you hold it out to him. You say, "Now I got you a gift. I went and picked it out and I bought it. I paid for it. I got you a gift and I want you to have this gift. Now if you'll go mop my floor and wash my car and make my bed, I'll give it to you." Merry Christmas. No. We don't do that. You see, if that was the case and I had to mop the floor and wash the car and all that to get it, it's not a gift anymore. I earned it. Same way with salvation. People going to church and making sacraments and doing this and doing that and thinking that they're somehow going to earn salvation. No, salvation's a gift. You can't earn it. God says, "I offer you the gift of salvation." Listen, when a gift is offered, you've got to do one of two things. You can accept it or reject it. Okay, we're back to Christmas morning. Here's a gift I got for you. I bought it. I paid for it. I went and picked it out. Here it is. All you have to do is receive it. Now, wouldn't you be foolish if you said, "I'm not going to take it"? You'd be a nut. That's what you'd be. That ain't where I'd be. I'd say, "Okay, let me have that baby." But how many people hear about the gift of God? You might be here this morning. You're hearing about the gift of God. God's offered you the gift of salvation. That means eternal life in heaven forever. And it's the only way you're ever going to have it, by God's gift. And God says, "Here it is, you can have it." And you're sitting there saying, "I don't want it. I'm not going to accept it." Well, the fact is this, God says, "Okay, if that's the way you want it, but you're going to die and go to hell and burn there forever." "I don't like that." Well, I didn't say I liked it, but it's true. It's what God says. Listen, these fellows went to a lot of work to get this fellow to Jesus because they had compassion, they had faith, and they were willing to get the gospel message to people. The message I just shared with you. We're sinners. We need a Savior. There's one who will save us. Romans 10:13. You listening? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, watch this, shall be saved. See, that word shall has no doubt connected to it. It's an absolute. I remember February 22nd, 1974, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I got saved that day. I've been saved ever since, and I'm going to be saved for all eternity because I'm in Him. What else does it take to get folks to Jesus? We got to move on here. It takes a unified effort. See, we got four guys who got together and they said, we got to get this thing done, man. This guy needs Jesus. And you know, it's interesting. I don't see them fussing and fighting over who's going to get credit. Nobody's fussing and fighting about who's going to be the leader. Well, I want to carry that corner. Huh? You know, we might chuckle, but unfortunately, as a pastor, I find sometimes that's the way Baptists are. Job needs done, but people worry about who's going to get credit. Who's going to pat me on the back? Do I get to be the leader? No. These men, they saw the job needed to be done. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about accolades. It wasn't about anything but getting the job done. And they got unified and they said, let's get her done, man. And they, can you imagine if they all had their own ideas and they grabbed the four corners of that stretcher and one goes this way, one goes that way, one's going, they're not going to get very far, are they? No, they had to be unified. You know, I know Baptists. If it was a bunch of Baptists, they'd be saying, well, I don't think we ought to do it this way. I think we ought to, yeah. Listen, I'm just going to lay it on you. Y'all need to just get with the program and say, let's do it. Let's just get her done, man. People need saved. People need the Lord. They need money for missions. They need soul winners to go out. They need bus workers. They need Sunday school teachers. I don't care if anybody pats me on the back. I don't care if anybody gives me accolades. I don't care if they say I got credit or not. I just want to get her done. I like the attitude of these people. I got to move on from there. I could spend a lot of time right there. But I got to move on. It takes determination and tenacity to get people to Jesus. Listen, they faced obstacles. They said, let's get this guy to Jesus. And when they got there, there were things hindering them. There were things that would make them want to put the guy down and say, forget it, we can't get this done. Huh? That's what a lot of God's people would do today. Oh, it's too hard. Oh, we can't do that. Oh, it takes too much of this, takes too much of that. Oh, we'll wait till the crowd dies down. No, they had tenacity and determination. They said, we don't care what it takes, we're getting him to Jesus. And what did they do? They went up on a roof and they tore a hole in the roof. They went to all that work and trouble just to get this guy to Jesus. See, too often, we look at things and we say, well, it can't be done. Well, it's too hard. Listen, we need to overcome some obstacles we have. What kind of obstacles? Well, how about opposition from hell? How many of you believe in a real devil? Well, you better believe in him because he's real. You know, he talked to Jesus. And he's the accuser of the brethren. Right now, he's standing before God accusing you. That's what the Bible says. And we have satanic opposition when we try to bring people to Jesus. I remember the first time I decided to go soul winning. I'd been saved about 2 months. And I was there with Pastor Fiden. I was really getting convicted about reaching out to other people. And so we had a fellow in our church named Fred Malacy. And I mentioned that, you know, I wanted to go soul winning. And people said, well, sign up with Fred. He'll take you. He'll show you how to do it. I said, okay. So I signed up with Fred. And I went to him. I said, Fred, can I go with you? He said, sure. Thursday night, we were supposed to go. Thursday afternoon, I came home from work. I was going to go soul winning. I got the most awful headache I ever had in my life. I thought the top of my head was going to pop off. It got to be time to get ready to go soul winning. I told my wife, I said, you're going to have to call Brother Fred and tell him I can't come. Man, my head, I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. Next week, saw Fred Sunday. I said, I'm sorry about that. I had this bad headache. Never had that before. I want to go this Thursday. Okay, sign up. Guess what happened Thursday afternoon when I came home from work? I had the second most awful headache I ever had in my life. You know that happened 3 weeks in a row? Finally, the third week, I told my wife, I don't understand. I got this headache again. She said, don't you think maybe that's a devil just trying to keep you from going soul winning? I thought about that. I said, you know, I think maybe you're right. So I said, don't call Fred. I'm going soul winning. I went soul winning with my headache. You know, from that week on, I never had another headache at soul winning time. You know why? Because the enemy found out his working on me every Thursday wasn't going to work anymore. I was going to go whether I had a headache or not. You know, I'm amazed at Baptists. They get up Sunday morning, got a little sniffle. I can't go to church today. I'm sick. You ever think maybe that's the devil just making you think you're sick so you don't go to church? Huh? You know, see, he'll throw things in our path to keep us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. I could tell you stories about problems in the bus ministry. And, you know, he don't just sit back and say, that's wonderful, they're running a bus. No. Opposition. But we got to overcome the opposition. We just got to determine, doesn't matter what it takes or how it takes, we are going to stay with it. One final thing. What's it going to take? This is kind of where the rubber meets the road. Self-sacrifice. If you're serious about you want to get people to Jesus, you're going to have to die to you. What do you mean? You're going to have to quit living for you and start living so you can bring people to Jesus. See, if you're going to bring people to Christ, you're going to have to sacrifice some time, some energy, some effort. You may have to give up some things to go soul winning maybe on Thursday or Saturday. You know, maybe your bowling league's on Thursday night. You're going to have to quit bowling. Why? So you can get people to Jesus. Maybe your softball league or maybe whatever it is. Maybe God wants you to teach a Sunday school class and tell some kids how to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and how to live for the Lord. You're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to die to you and what you want. You know, you have to get up a little earlier on Sunday morning. Maybe God wants you to work on a bus route. We need bus workers. We want to do a van route in Phillipsburg. Maybe God wants you to be involved in that. What it's going to take is you're going to have to be willing to go out on Saturday and visit some kids, and then you have to be willing to come on Sunday and ride the van and pick the kids up. And then you got to be willing to sacrifice, and after church, when everybody else is down at the restaurant getting their dinner, you're going to be on that van taking those kids home. That's sacrifice. And that's one reason we don't see more people bringing others to Jesus. They will not sacrifice to do it. See, I found this out. A lot of people will do things if it's convenient. If it fits in my schedule. Well, the fact is, if you're a Christian, your schedule ought to belong to Him. Amen. Oh, I don't know how many times we've called people or asked people, can you do this? Can you do that? Well, I don't think I have time. Really? You have time to watch television. You have time to go down to the mall. You have time to do this or that you want to do, but you can't. Oh, did it get quiet? Some of you lifting your feet up. Oh, my toes. But I'm just telling you the truth. I learned a long time ago, if I'm going to be using a ministry to reach people for Jesus, I'm going to have to sacrifice. I'm going to have to give up some things. There are some things I might want to do. There are some places I might want to go. You know, there's some time I might want to spend doing other things. But I'm going to have to give that to the Lord. I got to wrap this up. Listen, today my heart is still burdened about missions. I know Brother Miller was done Wednesday night, but I wasn't done. I don't think God was done. And missions is more than just foreign countries. Missions is everywhere we are. Our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Our local circle, our bigger circle of maybe our state or whatever, and then our country, and then the whole world. We need to be reaching people. These fellows are a prime example of the need to get people to Jesus. He is their hope. But somebody got to tell them. You can tell them. We can send people around the world to tell them. Gospel tracts can tell them. But we're responsible to get the word out. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Getting people to Jesus. That's the emphasis today. And that's the need today. We must get people to Jesus. We're commanded to take the gospel to the whole world. There's a whole world of people dying and going to hell. They need somebody to care enough to reach out to them. We can do it personally in our own Jerusalem here. We can do it supporting missionaries in America and evangelists in America, and we do that. We can do it by supporting missionaries to go around the world. But we need to get it done. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask this question. How many of you could honestly say, "Preacher, I believe I am actively seeking to get people to Jesus. I'm witnessing, I'm handing out tracts, I'm involved in missions, I'm doing my dead level best to get people to Jesus so they can get saved. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? If you can honestly testify, put it down." How many would say, "Preacher, God is all over me today. The fact is, I have not been diligent and faithful in seeking to bring people to Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I know that. And there have been times when I've tried to reach people, but really, by and large, I am not actively seeking to bring people to Jesus. I'm not really involved in soul winning. I'm not involved in handing out tracts. And I'm not involved in faith promise. And God's all over me today, and I want to get it right. I'm making a decision today. I am going to get busy. I'm going to get active in this thing of getting people to Jesus. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hands are going up all over this room. I'm going to get busy. I'm going to get active. I see the need. I want to be a part of the solution. Here's my hand. Hands are going up all over this room. God's speaking to my heart, preacher. Put it down. I wonder how many would say, you'd make a commitment today. "Preacher, I have not had a part in Faith Promise Missions, but today God spoke to me. I need to get involved in it. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do in giving to Faith Promise Missions. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? I see hands going up. God spoke to me, preacher. I need to get involved. I need to do my part. Whatever I can do. Here's my hand." I wonder if there's somebody here today who would say this, "Preacher, you talked about being saved. You talked about only one way to heaven through Jesus Christ. You talked about religion wouldn't save me. And today God's all over me, and I realize I need to get saved. I need to come to Jesus Christ. I need to get born again. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. My sins are forgiven. I want to open my heart to Jesus and receive Him like the Bible said I must. Preacher, that's me. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I see that hand and that hand. Preacher, I need to come to Jesus today. That's my need. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. You mean it. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else, you can put it down. You say, "I never heard it like that." I told you the truth today, friend. You can get the Bible and check it out for yourself. I told you what God said. You say, "I don't like what you said." Well, then you argue with God. But here's the thing. If you die without Jesus Christ, there's no hope for you. That's not my opinion. That's what God said. Would you come to Jesus today? Would you today say, I want somebody to take the Bible and show me how I can know. Show me what God says about me being saved and going to heaven when I die, knowing for sure. Here's my hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's stand together. 489, Pastor Meyer.